message by Pastor Byron Brown was recorded at First Baptist Church in Lacombe, Louisiana. First Baptist exists to glorify God by declaring the life-changing message of Jesus and by discipling all people so that everyone can delight in God's supremacy over all things. It is our desire to adequately proclaim God's word so that believers will grow in Christ and unbelievers will be convicted for their need for Christ. We pray that you will be challenged and encouraged as you listen to this message from God's word. As you're seated, let me encourage you to take your Bibles and turn with you to the book of John, chapter 14. The book of John, chapter 14. Asking the question this morning as mainly an introduction into our time together in the Word, what does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? Many of us probably pray this way, but I would dare say that many of us probably really don't understand the meaning of praying in Jesus' name. We've probably added that on to many of our prayers almost in a formulaic fashion, correct? In the way by which we just pray, and we always say all these things, and then we say, in Jesus' name. Now, some of us have learned to pray that way simply because as we become Christian and have become a part of a body of believers, or maybe grew up in a Christian home, we've heard that phrase, and it just becomes by default what we pray. And I'm not saying it's wrong to pray that. By no means is it wrong to pray that. But I want today to help us understand what it means when we say that phrase, in Jesus' name. Because I believe it will bring some life to our praying. It will bring some hope to our praying when we really understand what it means to pray in Jesus' name. Why are we not praying any other name? So I want us to understand what this means. So today I'm going to do that in this way. We're going to talk about the meaning, just defining what that is. And then I want us to look at the purpose behind that. Why is it important that you learn to pray in Jesus' name according to the biblical way of understanding it? And third, there's a condition that I want you to see. Condition being is that you just can't say in Jesus' name and have this understanding and expect that everything is going to happen. Meaning, you can't necessarily have a blank check from God that says, as long as you pray in Jesus' name with this understanding, it's going to happen. We can't pray that way. We can't have that false hope. And then I'm going to ask you a question at the very end. Why? So what? What does it matter? There's a big reason why. So let's dive in the Word together this morning as we look at John chapter 14. Let's begin at verse 12 and verse 13. I pray you have a copy of God's Word with you. If you do, let's stand in honor of God's Word this morning and hear what God has to say to us through His Word together. John 14, verse 12 through verse 14. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word. You can be seated this morning. Those are some powerful scriptures. I mean, Jesus gives us some promises in that passage of Scripture. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Anything in my name, I will do it. Now, this is why it's important for us to understand. You can't necessarily say, God, I want a bigger house in Jesus' name. And He says He's going to do it. You drive by a car dealership, I want that in Jesus' name. You said you would do it, and it doesn't happen, then what happens? You get frustrated because the Word says He's going to do it, and it doesn't happen, and you said, but I said it in Jesus' name. Well, listen, just because you say that phrase, what I was saying earlier, doesn't guarantee that's going to happen, because oftentimes we're praying things that aren't in Jesus' name by what the Scripture actually teaches us that means. So I want to empower us this morning with a biblical understanding of what it means to pray in Jesus' name. Anybody need help in that way? I know I do. Even as I studied this passage of Scripture, it challenged me again to think about this. Now, what I want us to see here, we're going to look specifically at verse 13, but then we have to see it in context of what Jesus is teaching us here. But I believe in the meaning. Let's start there. The meaning of praying in Jesus' name is twofold. First of all, I believe when it talks about praying in Jesus' name, it refers to the power by which we are praying. the power by which we are praying. I mean, why don't you pray according to Allah? Why don't you pray according to Buddha? Why don't you pray according to Confucius? Because there's no power in those names. There's no authority in those names. And so we're talking about praying in Jesus' name. The first meaning, I believe it's to pray in Jesus' name means, this is what I'm going to give it to a more explicit definition. To pray in Jesus' name means that you are acknowledging that Jesus is God and has all power and all authority to accomplish many things. Let me say it again because I know some of you are taking notes. To pray in Jesus' name means that you're acknowledging that Jesus is God and has all power and all authority to accomplish many things. That's the first meaning. So let's jump into that one first. So when we're talking about praying in Jesus' name, it's not just this formulaic phrase, but we're saying when we pray in this name, we're praying because He has power to do things. Okay? That's what we're saying. Look again here in the context. Let me just kind of give you a brief perusal here. Look back at John chapter 12, verse 12. I just want to draw your attention to a transition in the book of John. We talked about this briefly Wednesday night, but I want to show this to you. If you look at John 12, verse 12, I want you to see what happens in Jesus' ministry. It says, the next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet Him, crying out, Hosanna, blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. This is a transition in the book of John. Everything from this point forward focuses on the last week of Jesus' ministry. John 12 through John 21 highlights this aspect of Jesus' ministry. The other Gospels has a very abbreviated version of this. So from John 12, John 13, and John 14, the disciples who are walking with Jesus have this realization that their Savior, their Messiah, their teacher, and their friend is about to be gone. They've walked with Him for 3 years. He has mentored them. He's taught them. He's discipled them. And so much so that they get saddened, they get discouraged to know that this Savior is about to leave. That's why you get to John chapter 14, verse 1, and notice what Jesus says to them. Let not your hearts be what? Troubled. They're troubled. They're bothered to know that Jesus is about to go. And so what happens here in John chapter 14 is that Jesus lays out a few promises for them. One of those is what we're going to be talking about today in regards to praying in Jesus' name. But He begins with the first promise in verse 1 through verse 6. We actually sang that truth this morning. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life, and no one comes to who? Except through Me. Jesus gives a promise. He's saying, look, the first promise is don't be troubled. Listen, because of Me, there's a way to heaven. Because of Me, there's a way to the Father. He's given them a promise and a hope. Don't be discouraged. This is for good. This is for God's glory. And the second promise that He gives is in verse 8 through verse 11. And the third promise is in 13 and 14 that we just read. And I want to tie these last two promises together. The promise that we're seeing this morning is right there in verse 13. If we ask anything in His name, He will do it. Now, for someone who's about to be discouraged, know the Messiah is about to leave, and Jesus says to him, listen, don't be discouraged. I'm going to the Father. I'm going to heaven. But listen, you can ask anything in My name. So that means that, listen, I don't have to be here with you any longer. You can pray in My name, and the Father hears it, and He's going to do it. That's good news for them. But it's only connected to the second promise, and I want you to see this, what it means to pray in Jesus' name. You have to see it in context. Back at verse 8, notice what Philip says to Jesus and what Jesus says to him, and it's connected to His personhood, who He is. Remember what I told you, that to pray in Jesus' name means that we're acknowledging that Jesus is God? That's the promise that we're going to see. Let's look at it. Verse 8. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it's enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and you still do not know Me, Philip? Whoever has seen Me has seen who? The Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in Me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on My own authority, But the Father who dwells in me does his work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Do you hear what Jesus is saying to Philip? Listen, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I'm in the Father's in me. And then immediately right after that, Jesus says, whatever you ask in my name. He is saying, in essence, you're asking to the one who created all things. He's the one who made you. He's the one who created it. He's the one who gave you feet. He's the one who gave you a heart to beat. He's the one who gives you breath to breathe. He's the one that makes the things live. He's the one who sustains the earth. He's the one who makes the sun rise. He's the one who makes the sun set. He's the one who makes the moon come up. He's saying, this is the name that you are praying in. So what we're saying here, to pray in Jesus' name, is not simply this tack on. It is loaded with power and authority to say, I am praying in the name of Jesus. He is the one who is equal. He is the Trinity. He is God who you're praying to. It is not just simply this name that we're praying to. May you grow in your value and understanding that when you pray, you are praying to an almighty, powerful God. So when you're praying, and all that we've been talking about for all the past 11 weeks in prayer, this church, I want to embolden you in your prayer life. To be able to pray in Jesus' name is a privilege to even be able to say that. Because you've been redeemed. And it's because of Him that you have access to the Father to pray this in Jesus' name. That we have this power. Let me show you a couple of verses that prove this point that Jesus is the one who has authority and has power. Now, in context of chronological time, we're at the last week of Jesus' life. I want you to see what Jesus says in Matthew in the last time, the last week of his life there. Look at Matthew 28 and verse 18. Notice what Jesus says there about power and authority and who he is. Now, I'm going to make application of this in just a moment, but I want to lay the foundation in regards to what this means. Then I want to give you some practical application of how I pray according to this truth. Begin at verse 16. Remember, this is the Great Commission. This is actually after the resurrection, okay? And then he gives this teaching. Now, the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Very similar in regards to the kind of the attitude that's happening in the disciples even before Jesus is about to be crucified. They're worried, they're bothered before his death, and now they're doubting that he's even risen again. And we saw that in John, he's telling them, don't be troubled. And now that he sees that they're doubting, he's given the same truth. You understand that? You follow me? In John 14, they were troubled, so he says, listen, you're praying in Jesus' name, the one who has authority, and now after his resurrection, he's telling them, listen, I see that he can see that they're doubting, and so what he says next in verse 18, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority, how much authority? All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to who? Me. So what he's saying to them is the same truth that we're laying out and seeing in John chapter 14, Jesus saying, listen, it's all been given to me. Same truth. Now go back to John chapter 3. I want you to see it again. John 3 verse 35. John 3, 35. Exact same truth that is proclaimed here. John 3 verse 35. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into His hand. This is not the end of His ministry now. This is just during His ministry that Jesus is saying, listen, all things are in my hand. Now listen to me. I want you to think about this with me. Every circumstance and situation that you can think of is not greater than the authority and the power that is within Jesus and His authority and His power. Listen, I don't care what lie Satan tells you. I don't care what he is trying to say to you that it's impossible. It's not able. God is not able. It is not the same Jesus that we're seeing here in the scripture. Because he's saying all power, all authority is given to me. Now, I want you to see where in scripture, in the gospel, I looked at many examples. This just yesterday and even last night and this morning, I was looking it up again in the concordance of this phrase, in Jesus' name. And when this phrase is used, there's usually an event that is occurring that is associated with the power that comes in Jesus' name. Let me give you an example. Look at Luke 9. I know we're dancing around different passages here this morning, but look at Luke 9, verse 49. The context is that there's being a demon that's being cast out here, and I want you to see what is being said here. Luke 9, 49. I'm sorry, I said verse 39. Luke 9, 49. John answered, "Master, we saw someone casting out demons." What? "In your name. And we tried to stop him." Are you kidding me? Are y'all on the second train or the first train this morning? To stop someone from casting out a demon in your name, there's jealousy going on here. Do you hear this? The disciples are bothered that it's not them. Okay, so they're saying, We saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he does not follow with us. I love Jesus' response. Jesus said to him, "Do not stop him, for the one who is not against you is for you." Jesus is not saying what this person is doing is wrong. Jesus is not saying because this person is not in the elite 12 that it's wrong. Why? Because it's in the name of Jesus. It's in the power. And the only way that a demon could be cast out is not by any trickery. Correct? You figure up any magic potion you want to, but it's not going to happen. He's saying, in their name, in your name. We saw it. We heard it. And so what Jesus is saying by essence here is it's right. And what I want you to say is when we're praying in Jesus' name, it is referring to the power that is contained in His name. Now listen to me. Paul was not in the first 12 that were chosen, but God did a miracle to choose him to be a messenger of Christ. And I want you to see, according to some of his New Testament letters, he believed in this power. Let me show you too. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. We'll just look at the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. I could stay on this point all day today. Ephesians 1. We're just going to camp there for a little bit. Ephesians 1, and then we're going to look at Ephesians 3. I want you to see that Paul believed this. He believed that praying in Jesus' name had power over all things. It was rooted in a doctrine. Listen, your application of ministry cannot be separated from biblical truth. What we're talking about praying in Jesus' name is because we're seeing it in Scripture. So when we get to practicality here in just a moment, when I'm going to teach you how to pray this and what to do and how it relates to your circumstances, it's only rooted in this biblical truth. It's not something I'm fabricating. It's not something I'm making up. I'm pointing it to you in Scripture. Now I want to kind of give you a brief overview here. Beginning at verse 15 through verse 22 of Ephesians 1 is what we're going to look at. Now Paul is praying here that God would give them knowledge of three different things. And I'm going to point them out to you, so you may need to take a pencil in your Bible or write it on your notes. He prays specifically there in verse 18. I'm going to read it, then I'm going to point them out to you for three things. We're going to focus on the third one. He prays that having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is, number one, the hope. That's the first one he's praying that they would see. He's praying that their eyes are going to be enlightened to see the hope to which he has called them. Secondly, what are the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints? So there's the first two things, the hope that you have and the glorious riches that you have. And then the third thing he says, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power, speaking of Jesus' power, towards us who believe. All right, so first of all, let me ask this question. We're praying in Jesus' name because it refers to his power. Who has the ability to be applied to? To those who believe. To believers. Okay, so here he is. Now he's about to expand. He's praying that their knowledge would expand to understand the power of the immeasurable greatness in Jesus. That's my prayer this morning. That you would grow in your knowledge to understand the meaning of this power. Now, with that said, let's go on in this passage here. In verse 19, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. I want you to notice verse 21. Where is he seated? far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every what?
Name.
Above what? Every name that is named not only in this age but also in the one to come. He, being God, he put all things under Jesus' feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Listen to me. What Paul is saying, he understands, he believes and knows that he's saying that when Jesus conquered the grave, when he was risen again, God gave him the name which is above every name. So when you're saying, I'm praying in Jesus' name, you're praying in the name that is above all names. Nothing, absolutely nothing has authority and power over that name. So you can pray in faith, you can pray in confidence, you can pray with hope, you can pray believing that God can do something because his name is above every name. If that doesn't excite you this morning, I don't know what's wrong with you. As a believer, that gives us hope. It does me. We've talked about praying and understanding that sometimes God may delay in our timetable of when prayers get answered. But listen, it does not reflect anything upon the name of Jesus Christ. He's powerful. And because he has all authority and all dominion and everything is under his feet, he knows how it's all going to play out. He's determined it. He's set it in place and he's going to work it. Colossians tells us his hand is maintaining everything. Nothing is going to happen by coincidence or by accident or just circumstantial. It's all for the purpose of his name and his power and his authority. I want to share something with you. Back in John chapter 14, I want you to see how Jesus' statement was radical in that day. Does anybody believe that Jesus was a radical? Yeah, you better believe he was. He was turning things upside down. And I want to read this passage again, and I want you to hear how it simply went completely contrary to what they believed. Read it again. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Who is Jesus' primary audience here? His disciples. You know what the Jewish culture and beliefs said in this day about who could actually do this and it be accomplished? Jewish culture and religion believed that only certain pious rabbis could this happen. Not every rabbi, but only certain ones who had such a close, intimate relationship with God that they're the only ones who could ask God and God would give it to them. And Jesus is saying, you can ask in Jesus' name and it will be given to you. Listen, that went completely contrary to what they grew up hearing. It was completely contrary to the Jewish culture. And Jesus is saying the same thing to you and me. Listen, it's not about your certain level in a Christian standard in regards to you being the elite one or just the pastor or just the elders or just the deacons. He said earlier, back in verse 11, it's to those who what? Believe. Believe. And so I want to say this to you. Listen, this is a promise for every person who is a believer in Jesus Christ. It is good to know. It's not relegated to just a simple elite group. Listen, that's the power that is contained here in this name. Now I want you to see, go back to verse 12, and I want you to see how this plays out practically for the disciples. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do. Now, how in the world can the disciples and you and me do greater things than Jesus? You have to begin to think, are we talking qualitatively or quantitatively here? Can we do anything with a greater quality than our Lord Jesus? You better not say yes. There's no way in the world that we can do something with greater quality. He is the Son of God. I don't know anyone who has fed over 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Then you add in the women and the children, it was far greater than 5,000. A great miracle of great quality. There's a key here to understand. Jesus says, because I am going to the Father. Because I'm going to the Father. because I'm there interceding. I've conquered it, the resurrection. I've conquered all things. And remember, Ephesians says it's through His resurrection that all things are under His feet. That's the only way we can do things in Jesus' name. Listen, I don't believe we're praying with this kind of belief and faith to know that He's got everything under His feet. Everything. And He's seated at the right hand of the Father, and Jesus saying, you can do greater things than me. I want to be a church. I want to be a church that we see great things done. Because not because of us, not because of our name, not because of leadership, but because of the name that saves. It can happen. He's not changed this promise at all. Does anybody want to see great things?
Yes.
Amen, I do. But think about this for a moment. I believe what we're talking about here is even in quantity. I mean, Jesus was here 3 years. 3 years. I pray by God's will that I get to preach a long time. So my life ministry will be longer than Jesus' ministry. Now, do not hear me being heretical this morning. I am not saying my ministry will be greater than Jesus'. If you hear anybody say that, that is heresy. But what we can say is, Lord, in our quantity of time, let us see many great works. Many great works. You think about Peter, when he stood and preached at Pentecost. We talked about this in the membership class this morning. How many people were saved? 3,000 people were saved. Great works. Great works. And what name was he preaching in? In Jesus' name. So what I'm saying to you this is what in context when Jesus is saying back at verse 13, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do. It's in context with doing these things that Jesus is saying that can be done. Okay, are you with me? Everybody's following me? So to understand our meaning, first of all, when we pray in Jesus' name, we are believing that He has all power and all authority to do mighty things. Let me tell you practically how this is applying for me. When I'm praying for someone who's sick or I'm standing beside a bedside, someone who has cancer or some kind of infirmity, you better believe I'm going to pray in this name. I say, Lord, I know You have divine power and ability to heal someone right now if You choose to do it. So, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, who is above all things, all power and all authority, God, I ask You to bring healing if it's Your will. But God, You have all authority and all power if You want to choose medication or if it's chemo or if it's radiation. If You choose to use that means, then by the name of Jesus Christ who has all authority and all power, we ask it in Jesus' name to bring healing and do it in such a way that brings You glory. That's how it applies for me. The burden is not on me. The burden is on God. But I'm praying, again, according to the model in Matthew 6, Your will be done. But I'm praying for the hallowing of His name. I'm praying for His glory, His name to be revered. But I'm praying it in the name of Jesus Christ who has all authority and power. Listen, it's not based on my etiquette. It's not based on my English grammar. It's not based on my education. It's based in Jesus. Let's talk about our corporate fast. We're fasting and praying for 6 different items. Listen, I want to encourage you now with your belief. And you're praying, when you're praying for these areas, Lord, You have all authority and all power to bring us the worship pastor that You want us to have. You know exactly where that person is. You know exactly who they are. You know exactly when that circumstance is going to be. So, Lord, because You have all authority, all power, we rest in Your name. When we're praying for penetration into this community and in our neighborhoods, we're saying, Lord, You have authority over every relationship I have. You have the authority and the power over every circumstance to bring those things about. And so, God, according to Your name, would You bring about salvation to my neighbors? Do you see how it works and it applies? There's many things, church, I want to say. It is to His name. Great power. Well, let me give you a doctoral application. If Jesus is saying that He is fully God here, because that's what He's saying, and He's told us to pray in Jesus' name, I'm going to ask you a question. Is it wrong for you to pray to God the Father or the Holy Spirit? Because He said to pray in Jesus' name. Is it wrong? Now, this one's not a rhetorical question. This is actually a feedback question. Is it wrong? No, it's not. Because if it was wrong, then his model prayer is wrong. Correct? Because he begins to say, our what? Our Father in heaven. This is what I'm saying to you. When Jesus says to pray in my name, we are saying, we believe you're God. And so it's not wrong for you to pray to God as your Father, because he said in Matthew 6. It's not wrong to pray to the Holy Spirit, because he's fully God. And we look at Scripture and we understand, look with me very quickly just to John 14. And we understand verse 6 says, you're the way, he's the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. But when you go over, we understand that Jesus has made this way and this possible. But if you read on in John 14 and John 16, you will understand that he's saying to us that the Holy Spirit is our helper. Look with me, if you would, at verse 25 and 26 of John 14. These things I've spoken to you while I'm still with you. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. According to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, when you've believed in Jesus, you've been sealed with who? The Holy Spirit. And so even this morning, you heard me pray. Holy Spirit is our teacher, so teach us this moment. But what we're praying, church, is based on the power of who he is. Let me give you the second meaning. It's not just praying according to the power. To pray in Jesus' name means that we are praying according to Jesus' will. Let me rephrase it this way, because this makes a lot of practical sense. We should pray for whatever Jesus would pray for. If it's hard for you to understand what Jesus' will is, you have to think through and ask yourself, is this what Jesus would pray for? Because we're talking about the greater things again, back in John 14, verse 12. We're going to move through this one pretty quickly, but let me just kind of remind you. Matthew 6, verse 9, you heard me say it earlier. In our model prayer, Jesus says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we're praying in Jesus' name. We're praying for the will of God to take place. Those things that line up with his will. So a good way to think through your prayer life is when you begin to pray for something, you ask, is this going to be according to the will of God? Will it bring him glory? Will it bring him praise? Or is this selfish of me to pray for this? Well, look at this passage again, and you understand when Jesus is saying, whatever you ask in my name, my name. Because what has he said back in verse 12? Truly I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. So if we're asking things that are according to these great works that he's wanting to do, according to who he is, that's according to his will, and he wants to honor that. Well, John writes three epistles at the end of your New Testament, and in that epistle he rewords this in such a way that's very clear. Look at 1 John chapter 5 with me, verse 14 and verse 15. Because he just lays it out very simply, very clearly, very concisely in regards to our praying. He talks about our confidence that we have as well in our prayer life. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, 14, and 15. I write these things to you who believe, there it is, who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have towards him, that if we ask anything according to his what? Will. According to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. So we're praying in Jesus' name. We're praying in alignment with his will. Praying for God to do things is not so much about us asking him to do things for us, but aligning our hearts according to his will and praying for those things to happen. So we understand that to pray in Jesus' name is to pray believing that he has all power and authority over all things to do mighty works, and to believe that we're praying in Jesus' name is to pray according to his will. For example, when a marriage is difficult, and some of you have gone through very hard times, and some of you have gone through divorce, so I'm not trying to be insensitive to those things at all. But when I sit and I counsel with people, my counsel, biblical counsel, is to try to make that marriage reconciled and restored. And if someone says to me recently, I don't know if it's God's will for me to be together or divorced. And there's no biblical reason for divorce. I don't have to contemplate what God's will is. Are you with me? That I say, you need to work hard. 1 Corinthians 13 says, love bears all things, endures all things, hopes all things. And so when we're praying according to the will of God, so when I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, I know it's your will for them to make it. So God, bring hope, bring life, bring restoration. Do you see how this lines up? So we're praying in Jesus' name according to His will. So God, we're praying, Lord, do something there that's a mighty work because I can't do it. So we're praying for His will. Well, I need to move on. We know that praying in His name is according to the power that's in His name, according to His will. But secondly, I want to ask this question and teach you the purpose of this. Why do we pray this way? It's laid out for us right here in Scripture. Go back to John chapter 14. He tells us why we pray this way. Verse 13, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, why? That the Father may be glorified in the Son. So we pray in Jesus' name, and listen to me. So if Wayne is praying something this week in Jesus' name, it's not so Wayne gets the attention. If Rob is praying something this week in Jesus' name for his life, it's not so that Rob can get the glory. It is so that when it happens, people have to look and say, God brought that about. God did that. It's for His glory. The reason why I want to say this to you is because all of Jesus' life was to bring glory to the Father. Let me show that to you. Look with me, if you would, at John chapter 17, verse 1 through 4. Notice what Jesus says was His purpose while He was here on earth. And if this is His purpose, I want you to make the connection, then this is what we're praying for in Jesus' name. John 17, verse 1, when Jesus had spoken these words, He lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify Your Son, that the Son may glorify You, since You have given Him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom You have given Him. And this is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. Here it is. I glorified You on earth, having accomplished the work that You gave Me to do. Jesus' purpose in His earthly ministry was for one purpose, and that was to bring God glory. Even in His death, it was to bring God glory. In His suffering, it was to bring God glory, because in that, it allowed the wrath of God that was supposed to be poured out on me and you, for those who believe, to be poured out on Jesus, and that brought God glory. And so Jesus is teaching us in John 14, if you're praying for jobs, if you're praying for sickness, if you're praying for healing, if you're praying for circumstances, if you're praying for marriages, and you're praying in Jesus' name because of the power that is in that name, and you're praying for the will of God, you're doing it so that God gets the glory. And so pray that. Pray it. My mentor used to pray this way. He would say, God, do things in such a way that only You could get the credit. What a great way to pray. Even when we think about what God wants to do in our neighborhoods and as we think about all the things that we're fasting for, what a great way to pray. God, do all of these so that no one looks at me or you and says, it's because of them. That it has to be a God-sized thing. This is because of God. Now, I want to make a connection between what we've just said so far. That praying is because of the power and for God's will and for God's glory. I want you to see how Paul connects all three of them in Ephesians. Look at me at Ephesians 3. One of my favorite scriptures in my prayer life. Such a good truth. Now to Him. Now who's the Him he's referring to? I mean, this is the same book we looked at a while ago in chapter 1, right? The one who is above every name. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think. Does that sound like John chapter 14 verse 12, the great and mighty things? According to the what? Power at work within us. How is it in us? Only because the Holy Spirit is in us. The power at work within us, to Him be what? Glory. In the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. How long does He want the glory? Forever. So listen, we're praying in Jesus' name because He has all power. He's able to do far more abundantly than we can ask or think. And we're praying, Lord, do it in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. You know why it's saying forever and ever? Because whatever He brings it about is all going to result in praise when we're in heaven. We're going to be praising Him. Lord, thank You for those that You redeemed under the time that we are in living in Lacombe and part of that church. God, thank You that You're doing this. And it's for Your glory. Listen, I've said this to you every year, and I will say it this year again. I believe every year God just wants to increase what He has done from the past and make it even greater this year. That's what I'm praying. So join with me in praying that. God, to You be the glory. Now, all these things, though, church, I want to let you know, there is a condition. You can believe this. You can believe that He has the power. You can line up cognitively in your knowledge about God's will, and you can believe that it's all for His glory. But if you do not meet the condition, listen to me, it's not going to happen. There is a condition laid out for us in John 15, verse 7. Turn there with me. Because Jesus has this same teaching in John 14, John 15, and John 16. Listen to me. This is important for every one of us. As students, as adults, and mature adults, we need to understand this in the way by which we're praying for God to do things in our lives, in our ministries, in our communities, in our workplaces. Jesus lays out very clear for us in verse 7 of John chapter 15. If you abide in Me, and My words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. What's the condition? Abide. Abide. You cannot, listen to me, you cannot claim that you are in Christ and your life not be meeting that, because listen, the same author who wrote this, John, is the same author who wrote 1 John 1:6. It says, if we claim to be in Him, but yet we walk in darkness, we lie and we don't practice the truth. How in the world can we think? How in the world can we expect God to do things, whatever we're asking, if we aren't abiding in Him? Listen, this is not like getting on a ride in an amusement park that you're in it for a few moments and you're on a great high and you're out of it. That's not what He's talking about. You're in Him and He's in us. And so we have to think and say, Lord, am I abiding in You? So that we can believe and trust that that name that's above every name will do it. So what? Why? Why is this important for you and for me? So our prayer has to be effective. But Jesus gives us a very interesting reason why. It's right here in John 16, verse 23 through 24. He again talks about asking things in His name. It is wonderful to listen to me, to know that God is concerned about His glory, but He's also concerned about something for you. Verse 23 and 24 of John 16, in that day you will ask nothing of Me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in My name, He will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in My name. Ask, and you will receive. Sounds like Matthew 7 that we learned last week, right? Ask, seek, and knock. Ask and you receive. Why? That your joy may be what? Full. Anybody want a full joy? Absolutely. I'm not talking about running around in circles. I'm not talking about that kind of hysterical, out of control joy. Jesus is saying, if we're asking according to the power that is in His name and according to His will, and we're abiding, because listen, this is after John chapter 15, it's all in order. So if He's saying that we're asking His name, believing He has the power, believing it's according to His will, we're abiding in His name, when those prayers are answered, it is for our joy. It's about His glory, but the Lord wants to see His people filled with joy. And so listen, when we're praying for these things we're fasting and praying for, we're praying for God's glory. But when it happens, there's going to be a happy bunch of people at First Baptist Church of Lacombe. When we see that worship pastor come, when we see people from our neighborhoods and communities come in and we see their lives changed, when we see people being healed for who's been sick over periods of time, we are giving God praise and glory. And the joy is not for our glory, it's for God, because even in our joy, we're giving God praise. So this morning, I want to encourage you, church, believers in Jesus Christ, we have a name that is above every name that we can pray to. I don't know what your circumstances are. Some of you may have situations that you have kept secret from people. It's been difficult, it's been hard, and I want to exhort you this morning. I want to build you up to say that you don't have to carry that by yourself anymore. Bring it to Christ. Bring it to the name who's above all names and give it to Him. If you have a situation that's difficult, a job, a family issue, marriage, children, parents, bring it to the name. It's above everything. Are you aligning your prayer life according to the will of God? Maybe you're not feeling joy and receiving joy because you're praying your will and not God's will. This morning, church, God can do great things. He's given us a promise to do it. And I want to encourage you and fan the flame for you to believe this God. Believe that He wants to do great things for His glory. And if you're here this morning and you've not surrendered to this great King, and He's convicting your heart and He's drawing you this morning, surrender to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords that is above every name. Let's pray. Father, You have been good to us this morning to give us a good word. Father, I know that there have been some under the sound of my voice this morning who have experienced great frustration in their prayer life. And today, Lord, I pray that You are encouraging their hearts even now as we pray. Father, I ask You to forgive us for shortchanging the power and the mighty works that You can do. Lord, I pray today that as we think again about what it means to pray in Jesus' name, that we in our praying would have faith to believe in You. Oh God, I pray that the individuals who have difficult circumstances, difficult relationships, seemingly a need that doesn't seem to be possible to be met. Oh God, I pray that You today would show Yourself strong to Your people. Father, let our prayer lives not be for our will, but would be according to Your will so that You can be glorified and as an end result that our joy could be filled. And so that when people say, why are you joyful? We can say, because You're a God who is above all things. Oh Lord, I pray this morning that You would be glorified even in our commitment time, that if there are people who need to recommit in the way by which they pray, to take claim of the promise that we've seen in this word this morning about the very God that we pray to. God, I pray today that You would move in our hearts to the name that is above every name. All authority, all power, all dominion, to Your name alone be the glory. And now, Father, speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. As we stand and as we sing, this time of commitment time that we sing, Jesus is Messiah. Again, proclaiming who He is this morning. And if God has moved in your heart and you need to kneel where you are and to pray, or to join with someone here at the altar and to let us join hands with you and pray, then you come. And may we proclaim this song, proclaiming the name that is above every name.
Thank you for listening to this message by Byron Brown, Senior Pastor at First Baptist Church in Lacombe, Louisiana. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for these copies without permission. We invite you to visit our church website at www.fbclacombe.org. That's FBCLACOMBE.org. You can find information about our church there, or you can call our church office at 985-882-5682. Thank you for listening.